Welcome to the best podcast in the history of mankind. It's Monty's Rockcast. And now, here's your host, Monty Coleman.
Hey, it's Monty, and this is the Rockcast.
It's about to get all stupid up in here!
So glad you could join me, and welcome to episode 287. And it's not just any episode, this is the year-end special. And what's so special about the year-end special? Well, every year around this time, I give you the Rockcasty Awards. And by now, I think everyone knows that the Rockcasties have become bigger than the Emmys or the Grammys or even the ESPYs. Because those awards just go to specific things, like music or television or sports. But my awards, the Rockcasties, go to the best and worst in everything. But in addition to that, I'll be doing all the usual stuff, like reading listener emails, answering your questions, and of course, I'll be giving you the latest update on the new Galactic Cowboys album. But how about I get right into it and start giving away some Rockcasties?
I guess?
It's been an interesting year, to say the least. A lot of really cool things happened in the world, but at the same time, some really bad stuff happened. And I'll just start out with the Rockcasty for the saddest thing that happened this year. My band Galactic Cowboys had started working on a new album, and it was going so well, and we had just recorded the bass and the drums, and we had just hired a new drummer, Johnny Simmons, and he had just played phenomenal on the tracks. And literally a week later, Johnny passed away. And of course, that was devastating to all of us. We love that guy so much, and we still miss him every single day. But his spirit and the power in his drumming that he left us with on those tracks will be with us forever. But I just wanted to mention that because it was the saddest thing that I experienced this year. Ironically, the most enjoyable experience I had all year was making the Galactic Cowboys album. There was a chemistry and camaraderie within the band that I hadn't felt for years. And I just had a blast working with Ben and Dane again, and of course Johnny was part of that. And I can't wait to hear what you guys think about it, but I'll get to that later. But let's get to more Rockcasties, and in the category of most painful thing that happened in 2025, the nominees are peeling hard-boiled eggs and watching the Kansas City Chiefs play football. But the award for most painful goes to my kidney stones. Yeah, for the third time in the last 10 years, I had to once again have surgery to remove some kidney stones. And let me tell you, that is most unpleasant. Now, how about the award for worst people? And wow, there are so many people so deserving of this and that I could have nominated. I mean, just the government alone, you had people like Schumer and Pelosi, on and on. You had all those liars on CNN and MSNBC. You had the guy that assassinated Charlie Kirk. But I'm going to give the Rockcasty to the ladies of The View. And I know, you're probably saying, but Monty, shouldn't they get the award for most stupid? And you're right, but you know, if I gave them most stupid, what would I do with Jasmine Crockett?
I hadn't thought about that. That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, we're really just splitting hairs. The thing is they're just all really horrible people. But what about the really good people? And for this category, I don't even have nominees. I just have one winner, and that group of people is the people who helped Alex and I move to Houston. And there's really too many to mention, so I will just thank all of you. Some of you gave us kind donations. I had a lot of you buy paintings and prints. I had a lot of you commission me to do paintings for you. And we took all that money and put it in a savings that helped us get a truck and do all the different kind of deposits. And you guys truly made it possible for us to make this move to Houston, where we're going to be able to start a new life for ourselves. And we just appreciate you guys so much. You are awesome people, and we love you.
It's absolutely wonderful.
Now, changing the subject a little bit, all year long, I've been telling you on each episode what I've been watching on TV. So now it's time for me to give out the awards for the best and worst in that. And let me just start off by saying, it's always difficult for me every year to find something that is worth watching, period. Alex and I have started out watching several series that we just go, well, let's give this a shot. And we make it through about one episode and go, well, that sucks. And we never return to it. But there were a few this year that we actually did make it through all seasons, including Barry, and that was actually really good. And we managed to make it through White Lotus, and I couldn't figure out whether that was really good or really bad. But we watched all the episodes, so I guess it was pretty good. But by far the best series that I've seen so far this year was Pluribus on Apple TV. It's from the same genius mind that brought us Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. And so far, I absolutely love it. The gal that plays the lead character is an absolutely brilliant actress. And the story is just, I don't know where it's going, and that's a good thing. It's just kind of unpredictable and enthralling. And hopefully they will renew that for about 5 or 6 seasons, because Vince Gilligan rules.
Who?
Now, how about the worst show on TV? Well, kind of like horrible people, there's a ton of them. I mean, you got the usual culprits like Saturday Night Live. God, that show has gotten so unfunny and downright unwatchable. And then there was other crap that I watched that I wished I hadn't, like Love is Blind. I mean, that show is so bad that it's actually funny. It's funnier than Saturday Night Live, in fact. And then there were other shows that I actually didn't watch, but I will still nominate them because I know they were bad. Like, I know I didn't need to see the MTV Video Awards to know that that was gonna suck. But I'm gonna give the Rock Casty for the worst TV show to The Golden Bachelor. I'm not sure why Alex and I watched this, but by the end, we wished we hadn't. It was time we will never get back spent watching a guy that is literally only 1 year older than me, with a personality that is like watching paint dry, decide that he's not going to ask any of these women to marry him. Which I thought was the whole point of the show, but according to this guy, I don't know. So congratulations to the Golden Bachelor. You won a Rock Casty, and I will never watch that again.
I don't really care.
Okay, now for the first time, I actually have a subcategory for the worst TV. And this is for the show that is so bad, the only way I would watch it is if you paid me. And the nominees are The Masked Singer, The Voice, and this last one, which is also the winner, because you would have to pay me some serious cash to force me to watch American Idol.
Oh, dear God.
I mean, I'm literally revolted just by the commercials. And yes, I'll admit that I watched a couple of seasons of that years ago. And I found it sickening back then, but now, no way. I could not do it.
And quite frankly, it's torturous.
Alright, how about best and worst movies of the year? And once again, for about the 5th or 6th year in a row, I did not see a movie in a movie theater. There's just basically nothing that I want to see that bad where I'm willing to pay like $30 for a movie and a bag of popcorn. So anything I saw was on, you know, Netflix or HBO or something like that. And probably the worst thing I saw was Happy Gilmore 2. I was really looking forward to that, but I don't remember laughing maybe one time. I just thought overall it was really lame. But the Rockcasty for Best Movie of the Year, you know, there were several that I kind of enjoyed. For some reason, I started watching some of these movies with, I think his name is Jason Statham. And it's not that they were so great or well acted or anything like that. I've just found that I really kind of enjoy a good revenge movie. Like, just give me a movie where a guy or a loner moves to a new town, preferably a small town, and a bunch of bullies or local drug dealers start picking on him. And they usually say stuff like, we don't like your type around here. And at first he's like, okay, I don't want any trouble. But they just won't let up, and eventually they surround him. And there's usually about three or four of them, and they're ready to beat him up. But they don't realize he's a former Marine, and he's got a black belt, and he's an MMA fighter. And he just kicks all of their asses. But of course, they never learn their lesson and say, you know, we're not going to mess with him anymore. They just keep coming back, and by the end of the movie, he ends up killing all of them. And it's very enjoyable to watch because, you know, they all deserved it.
Well, yeah.
So there was a bunch of revenge movies that I liked. I think my favorite was The Beekeeper. But, you know, sometimes you're just in the mood for something funny. And that's what I thought I was going to get with Happy Gilmore 2, but I did not. But it does not mean that I won't find something else that's funny, despite the fact that it's really stupid. And recently I discovered that there was a new Naked Gun movie, this time with Liam Neeson. And I thought, well, this is probably going to be god-awful, but I'll watch it anyway. But to my amazement, I actually laughed quite a bit. Yes, it was silly and kind of stupid, but it was also kind of funny. So congratulations to the Naked Gun. You win the Rockcasty, and you are the movie of the year.
It is ridiculous.
I'm also going to add another category for movie of the year, which was, it wasn't horrible, but it wasn't good. It was just weird. The first one was called Fat Man. It starred Mel Gibson, and it was basically a Christmas movie about Santa. And it was nothing that I was expecting, and by the end, I was like, well, I didn't just hate that, but it was sure weird. And I can't say that I liked it. Another one, I think it was on HBO Max, it was called Friendship. And it had Paul Rudd in it. And I thought, oh, well, I'm going to love this. I love Paul Rudd. He's from Kansas City, his movies are great, and he's a Chiefs fan, so this is going to be great. And I watched it, and I went, well, no, that was not great. It wasn't even good. It was just weird. However, the weirdest movie that gets the Rockcasty was called The Substance. It had Demi Moore, and there were parts in it that I found revolting, and at other times I was amused and entertained. And by the end I said, well, I don't ever want to see this again, but it was without a doubt weird. But to be honest, I kind of appreciated some of the message that it had. To me, it was making a statement about Hollywood and how celebrities and people in general these days will just try to do anything to stay attractive or to be accepted as they get older. And I think it's probably a woman thing more than it is a guy thing. I know for myself, the older I get, I just become a little more accepting of who I am. I don't feel any need to compete with 20-year-old dudes with six-pack abs. And as long as my girl Alex finds me attractive, then I'm okay with that. But wow, I see these women on Ozempic these days, and they're just looking like skeletons. And I honestly think that stuff is affecting their brains. And I would say it's a very ugly trend. But was it the worst trend of the year? No, because here's the nominees for the worst trends of 2025. starting with anti-Semitism. And I'm not talking about people who hate Jews. I'm talking about anyone who calls somebody that doesn't think we should send billions of dollars to Israel an anti-Semite. Could we all just have an opinion without being called a racist or some other terrible name? I have heard Nazi and anti-Semite just about enough. Could we just knock it off? Another trend that I'm sickened by is AI. And unfortunately, I don't think it's going away anytime soon, if ever. And the problem I have with it is you can't tell what's real anymore. There's AI bands with hit singles, fake. There's videos on Instagram and TikTok, fake. If you're an unattractive woman, just give yourself an AI profile pic, and suddenly you're hot. Fake, fake, fake. But for me, the worst trend of the year is something that's been growing year by year. And the winner of the Rockcasty is the lack of white people in TV commercials.
I'm outraged!
I get the whole trend towards diversity, but when it comes to inclusion in commercials, white people need not apply, apparently. Because over the last couple of years, they've just gradually disappeared.
I'm good with that!
With the one exception. If you're willing to play a dumb white guy, there's still a need for that. And I'll give you an example. I saw a commercial the other day, and I don't even remember what the product was that they were trying to sell. And I don't even know if they care what the product is or if they can sell it. They're just trying to make a point. But I'm sitting there, and this commercial comes on, and I see a white guy, and I'm like, what is this? And then I see his family, and his wife is Hispanic, and his kids are black. And that kind of confuses me and doesn't make a lot of sense, but by the end of the commercial, I finally see it. Okay, I get it. White dad is basically retarded.
Oh, of course.
So, yeah, there you go. Congratulations, Hollywood.
Bravo! Bravo!
Alright, I'm going to switch to the category of sports, and I will apologize in advance to all the people who don't care about sports. I will make this brief. But the thing you've got to understand is I've been a sports fan since I was 10 years old, so I've been a fan all my life. And basically, I can't help myself. I take it very seriously. That said, I enjoy very little of the sports that I do watch. These days, I basically hate the NBA because of all the wokeness and the female announcers and the horrible referees. And that would also apply to the NFL, where the officials determine the outcome of every single game. But none of that was my worst sports moment of the year, because the Rockcasty goes to my Kansas City Chiefs. Somehow, they went from being a dynasty to one of the worst teams in football. And like I said earlier, it was not just painful watching them, it was pretty much torture for me. Mahomes was no longer the superstar that I've come to expect. They were seemingly cursed with injuries. The defense always seemed to give up the big play when they needed a stop. The offense was ineffective. And if they ever did do something good, like score, it seemed like it was always eliminated by a penalty. Which, by the way, I thought the Chiefs got all the calls. I remember hearing everybody last year say, the NFL is rigged, they want the Chiefs to win. Well, I think we can finally put that ridiculous theory to rest. They didn't get any help from anybody this year, and the Chiefs were just pathetic. And I know it made a lot of you happy. So I hope you're happy and you can take some joy in my misery. Now, what was the best thing in sports this year? Well, for me, there wasn't a lot to be happy about, but I will give the Rockcasty to Nikola Jokic of the Denver Nuggets. Despite what ESPN and the mainstream media will tell you, he's one of the greatest players to ever play the game. And he has become my favorite present-day basketball player. Not just because he's so skilled, but because he's not a complete arrogant a-hole like most of the NBA is. Unfortunately for him, the fact that he is my favorite player pretty much doomed him to have a critical knee injury. And kind of like my favorite football player, Patrick Mahomes, instead of being awesome and making me happy, they will both be hobbling around on crutches. And somehow I kind of feel responsible. And so, in summary, I basically don't have a best sports moment. I hope you're okay with that.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares.
All right, let's switch to music. And I'll start with best concert. And Alex and I didn't really get to go to many this year because we were saving our money to move. In fact, we only went to a couple. One was the Summer of Loud Festival. And Killswitch Engage was once again great. But for me, the best show of the year was Coheed and Cambria at Red Rocks in Colorado. Coheed was just great. They put on a great show. And if any of you prog nerds haven't happened to run onto them yet, please check out Coheed and Cambria. They should be right up your alley. But really, the coolest thing about that concert was Red Rocks. I had never been there before, and it was just amazing. It's outside, it's legendary, it's majestic, and oh my God, would I do anything to play there someday.
You know, it was all right.
All right, let's go with some what was bad in music. And let's go with worst song, worst album. And keep in mind, I don't listen to the radio anymore, I don't watch the Grammys or pay any attention to any of that, so I imagine there's a lot of stuff that I missed. But at one point, I was subjected to a song by Bruno Mars called Fat, Juicy, and Wet. Yeah, I haven't heard a song title that disgusting since, what, Slide It In by Whitesnake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't need you to describe what you do in your bedroom. How about you just keep that to yourself?
It's just so icky.
Now, along those same lines, I'm going to give the worst album to Taylor Swift for The Life of a Showgirl. Now, I did not hear the whole album, but based on what I did hear, I'm going to assume the whole thing sucked. She had a song on there about Travis Kelce's penis, and that's really all I needed to know. So, congratulations to Taylor Swift. You not only ruined Travis Kelce as a great football player, and your music turned to total crap, but you did win a rock casty.
Nothing is more important than that.
There was also a couple of albums that weren't terrible, but I was kind of disappointed by. Like, the new album by Thrice didn't really do it for me, but, you know, maybe it'll grow on me. But there was one album that I wasn't really expecting much from, and it just grabbed me, and I ended up loving it. And that was There Is No Memory by the band Armor for Sleep.
Huh?
And you may never have heard of them, but they've been around since 2003. And I really liked them back then. I saw them at Warped Tour one year, but I hadn't really heard much of them since then. But this year they put out a new album, and I thought I'd give it a listen. And wow, the songs are just so good. Check this one out. Yeah, nothing that heavy, just really good songwriting, a lot of great melodies, And sometimes I just love stuff like this. Once again, that was Armor for Sleep off their album There Is No Memory. And they get the Rock Casty for Most Surprising Album.
I'm shocked!
All right, I'm going to take a slight detour now. I'll come back later and give out some more awards. But it wouldn't be a Rock Cast unless I answered some questions and listener emails. And the first one is from Travis Hurdlebrick. And Travis's question was about AI and what I think about all that. Well, I kind of touched on that earlier, and I've mentioned it in previous episodes. And for me as a musician and a visual artist, it's a little bit disturbing. Like most musicians and artists, I worked for years honing my skills. And for me, none of it came easy. I wasn't a natural at anything. And even now, I'm still trying to learn, I'm still trying to get better. And now to know that there's computers and software that can make music and art, well, I kind of hate it. It's a little threatening. But the one thing I hold on to is I think people will always want something that's made by humans. And so far, the one thing that computers can't do is recreate passion. They can't create a soul. And I think that's why people will always love real music. There's feeling, there's passion, and it comes through. And I also think that's why people like my art. You can have AI pump you out a portrait, or you could even have somebody do a super real painting that looks like a photograph. But for me, I think my stuff shows a certain personality. And hopefully people will always want that personal touch. Art or music that makes you feel something. And so we'll see. I'm not sure where the whole AI thing is headed, but I've got a hunch that it's not going to end real well. But probably and hopefully, I won't even be around when everything burns to the ground.
Oh, that is so nice.
Now here's a question I've got from a lot of people. It seems like about once a week, someone will write me and say, "Hey, have you heard of this band called Galactic Cowboy Orchestra?" And the answer is, "Oh yes, I've heard of them. I'm not really familiar with their music, but I have heard a little bit of them. And they don't sound anything like us. They're just kind of weird, maybe a little jazz influenced. I don't know. But what I do know is that apparently when they picked out their name, they did not Google search it. Because if they had of, they would have surely found out that, oh, there's another band with Galactic Cowboys in their name. But to be honest, I really don't care. We're certainly not going to take any kind of legal action. And the truth is, from what I understand, there was a Galactic Cowboys biker gang back in the 60s or 70s. And that's kind of where we got it. But don't worry about it. I think there's a Galactic Cowboy beer out there. And so, you know, I guess we have a cool name after all.
I don't think so.
Next, I got a couple of questions from Steve Ellison. And his first one was, "Hey, Monty, how's it going?"
What a great question.
Well, thanks for asking, Steve. And oh my gosh, there has been so much going on in my life. And in case you didn't know, a couple of weeks ago, my girl Alex and I moved from Colorado to Texas.
I'll admit I hadn't heard about this.
Yeah, back when we started recording the new Galactic Cowboys album, I made several trips back to Houston. And I started to think about it then, and I got to talking to Alex about it, and she hated her job in Colorado. And we didn't have a lot of friends there, and it was just really expensive to live there. So we finally said, why don't we just make the move? And so we saved up and made all the plans. But there was still one problem. The lease on our apartment in Colorado didn't run out until the middle of December, so we had to wait until then. And the week before we were supposed to move, we got a big snow. And I started to kind of worry because I thought, oh man, what's going to happen if on the day we're loading the truck, we get snow and ice? That's really going to suck, not to mention that we've got to carry stuff down 3 flights of stairs from our apartment to get to the truck. And so I just started praying, oh God, please give us a couple of days of good weather without snow. Well, it finally got down to the day we were supposed to move out, and the weather was perfect. No snow, no rain, it wasn't even that cold. So that was awesome, and not only that, but Alex's son-in-law owns his own moving company. And he brought a guy with him, they were great, they loaded all of our stuff, I helped a little bit. But for the most part, they did everything and got it all packed in one truck. And then they drove the truck to Houston for us. And so that was all a real blessing. And we get to Texas and it's like 80 degrees. And I'm like, oh yes, this is what I remember about Texas in the winter. And I love it. I know the summer is probably gonna suck, but right now it's great. And I honestly will not miss the snow. But now I'm gonna tell you about the house and where we live now. And that is a story in itself. You see, before we moved, we were not able to go to Houston and look for a place to live. And so we found a real estate agent that we actually knew already, and we started looking for houses online. And we looked at a lot of rental houses that were within our price range, and we got a pretty good idea from the pictures, and we finally landed on one that we liked in Katy, Texas, which is kind of on the outskirts of Houston, but it's basically Houston. In fact, in the very early days of Galactic Cowboys, our manager, Sam Taylor, lived in Katy. And I used to drive many a time out there for meetings. And before that, when I was in The Awful Truth, we used to practice out there. And in the late 80s, early 90s, there was nothing out there. There was a lot of farmland, and there was Sam's house and his office, and that was pretty much it. But then over the years, I knew a lot of people were moving there, and it was building up, and I knew we were kind of going to a place that had gotten a little bigger. But when we pulled into town and started trying to get to our house, I was just like, holy crap, this place has exploded. And we've been here a couple of weeks now, and I still have to use Google Maps everywhere we go because I am completely lost. And I know at one point in my life I lived here for 11 years, but now it just seems like everything is different. And so that's definitely gonna be an adjustment. I mean, the traffic here is absolutely insane. But you take the bad with the good, and one good thing is we have friends here. And we spent Christmas afternoon with Ben Huggins and his wife Maggie, and I think stuff like that is really going to be good for us. People need friends, people need relationships, it's all a good thing. And another good thing is the house we're living in. And at first it was a little iffy. The day we got here, we walked in and some of the rooms were a little smaller than the pictures looked like, and there were doors that wouldn't shut, and the gas hadn't been turned on, so we didn't have hot water for a weekend. And I'll have to admit, for a brief time I thought, oh my God, did we make a mistake? But we started unpacking and getting everything set up, and we gradually started making it look like home. And I got everything set up in my studio here, and we started hanging paintings. And I pretty much turned everything over to Alex. I said, listen, you're the woman, this is your domain, do what you want with it. Don't leave it up to me, or I will turn the bedroom into a man cave. And so she went at it and started putting up knickknacks and pictures and laying down rugs. And she got a bunch of plants. And I put up some drapes for her. But then I had to make the ultimate sacrifice. She wanted me to go with her to IKEA. And I don't know if you've ever been to one of those places, but it's kind of a three-story shopping center with nothing but housewares.
This is a sick nightmare!
Yeah, when we got there, the sun was shining, and when we left, it was dark. That's how long we were in that place. And when we walked away, there was stuff in that shopping cart that I didn't even know what it was. And even now, I'll look at stuff on the fireplace, and I couldn't tell you what it is, or what it's for. And so a little advice to all the men out there, if your wife or girlfriend tries to drag you to IKEA, just say no.
So I would never do that.
But in all seriousness, Alex did just a phenomenal job with this house. First of all, she basically took care of everything, like getting the Wi-Fi turned on, and she lined up all those things that you have to do when you move. And I just really appreciate her so much for doing all that. But the coolest thing of all is one day she wanted to go look at couches. And so once again, she made me go to one of those evil furniture stores. And we started looking around and we ran onto these couches that have a bed in them. And I suggested, hey Alex, you know what we could do? Instead of making that extra room that we have now a guest room, we could buy this couch / sleeper sofa for the living room, and they could sleep on that, and we could turn the third bedroom into a music / jam room.
Absolute genius!
And believe it or not, she agreed to that, and that's what we did. We set her drums up in there, I've got my guitars and an amp, I put a bunch of my rock star paintings in there, and we are gonna jam. So we really like the place. I think we're going to be really happy here. It's in a nice neighborhood and we take walks every day with the dog. It's the middle of winter and I'm outside grilling wearing my shorts. And it's all good. Except for one small thing. We've got one of these oak trees in our yard. And we've got thousands of acorns all over the place. And they don't just drop. These things literally fire out of the tree. And when they hit the top of our metal awning, it sounds like gunshots. And they scare the dog, and they scare me. And when I step on them, they hurt like hell. And I just thought you'd like to know that.
No, not really.
Okay, Steve Ellison had a second question. And he wanted to know what our guitarist Dane Sanye had used in the studio for the new album in the way of amps and so forth. Well, Steve, I really can't tell you specifically what he used because, strangely enough, I wasn't present when he did any of the guitars. We did a lot of the rough tracks together in San Antonio, but after that, he went to Nashville and did some of them. And then he went back to San Antonio to finish them. And so I'm not totally sure what he used, to be honest. I know he used two or three different amps. And I believed he used some amp modelers and combined a lot of those sounds. But whatever he used ended up sounding really good. Very crunchy and heavy. And in my opinion, he played some of the best solos that he's ever recorded. And that would lead me into a Galactic Cowboys album update. And what I can tell you now is that the album obviously has been mixed, and it's currently in the process of getting mastered. And after that's done, we will send it off to a place where they will make it into vinyl and CDs. Now, apparently that takes up to like 6 to 8 weeks to get done. So it could be that we're looking at February. I don't know. I wish I could give you a definite release date, but I can't. Not yet. Now, there is the possibility we could go ahead and put the album out digitally somehow, and I know we'll do that eventually either way, but I know for myself, there's just something about having the actual product in your hands. And it's probably because that's the way it was when I was younger. You'd get the album, you'd open it up, you'd read the lyrics, you'd look at the pictures, you'd see what the band looked like, you'd study the album cover, and you'd listen to it, and it was this whole experience. And I know I'm a little weird, but all that stuff just made a lasting impression on me. It was important. It meant something. And I was telling Alex the other day, you know, every now and then now we'll be in a store and I'll hear a song over the intercom. And if it's a song from like the 70s, it'll just take me back to that place and time. And I said, you know, sometimes I'll even get a little depressed. And I'll get a little bit sad because I know I'll probably never have that feeling again. Because that was a time when I was experiencing all this amazing music. I was in high school and I just started learning how to play guitar. And I wanted to be a musician so bad. And there was all these amazing bands and guitar players coming out with albums at that point. Like Kansas, Ted Nugent, Thin Lizzy, Boston. You had that early Aerosmith and Kiss. And I was just being bombarded with all this great music. And it was music that would last forever. Like some of the rap and pop music that's going on today, you think we'll still be listening to that 40, 50 years from now? Well, I won't be. But I don't really think anybody will. Because there's just so much stuff that's just disposable. But back then, you know, my life wasn't that great. I didn't have that many friends, and what friends I did have would, go party on the weekends while I was sitting in my room, listening to the radio and listening to bands that no one else listened to, like Wishbone Ash. And there were times when I was lonely. But when I think back to that time and I remember how that music affected me, I think, man, I just miss that so much. And so here we are, it's going to be 2026, and there's probably not that much to look forward to in the way of new music. But I'll tell you what, I did everything I could to make this new album by Galactic Cowboys something special. I know everyone in the band felt that way while we were working on it, and I hope that it's going to be something that will last. And if nothing else, we're all going to have that feeling of excitement again. So be patient, we'll keep you updated, and hopefully we'll be doing some shows here in a couple of months. But let's wrap things up here on the year-end special with a couple more rock casties. And the last two I will make music-oriented, starting with Album of the Year. And this will probably not be a surprise to anybody that knows me very well, but my favorite album this year was by the Wild Hearts. And it's weird because the name of the album is called Satanic Rites of the Wild Hearts. And I know that sounds evil and satanic, but it's really not, and ironically, it's one of the most positive albums they've ever made. I followed the career of Ginger Wildheart for a long time, and I know he's had a lot of ups and downs, mostly downs. And like a lot of us, he's battled depression. And he wrote a couple of songs on this album that are just truly inspirational. And that would lead me to my song of the year, which is once again the Wild Hearts. It's an amazing opus called Failure is the Mother of Success. It's a fairly long, complicated song that just blows my mind. And I just thought, what the heck, I'm gonna end the show with it. But before I go, I wanted to remind you, as always, to go check out my website, MontyColvinArt.com. I've got paintings and prints of everything from metal to classic rock to celebrities. And every order and purchase that you make will go to helping Alex and I pay our rent. And we always really appreciate that. Another thing you can do is commission me. And I've had a lot of people here lately have me do like paintings of them and their wives or their pets. Like over the holidays, I had a cool guy named Nathan Kazi commission me to paint his three dogs. And he told me, I'm a big Galactic Cowboys fan. Would you do something that's kind of galactic with them? And so I ended up putting his puppies on the moon. and it came out badass. It looks kind of like the cover of Long Way Back to the Moon. But I tell you all that just to say, you know, I will work with you. Just tell me what you're looking for and I'll shoot you a price and we can go from there. But once again, thanks to everyone who has commissioned me or bought stuff off my website. It's literally keeping us alive. Thank you. But anyway, here we go. Song of the Year by the Wild Hearts. You're going to want to grab onto something and go with it. You're going to think you're listening to one thing and then it's going to turn into something else. And the whole journey is going to be awesome. And thank God there's still a couple of bands out there still willing to try stuff and be creative. Failure is the mother of success. Check it out. That's gonna do it for me for now. Until next time, this has been Monty saying take care. Don't let anyone tell you what to like unless it's me. And
rock on. Monty's Rockcast.